Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning, again. I would have been glad to sing a couple more songs. This morning I'll just have a reading again of a complete book. I have a reading of the book of Micah this morning. So, can we pray? Kind Heavenly Father, just come before you here again. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather. Help us and teach us why we gather together, and help us. Give us wisdom to learn how to help each other in your ways. We thank you. We ask that your presence be among us and that we could learn from the reading of your word. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Micah, just start at the beginning. The word of the Lord that came, and even though this is a message or from the prophet to Israel or to Judah and to Israel both, may still be things in here that we can apply to our own lives and situations. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of kings Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear you peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. And let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For lo, the Lord is coming out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Then the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will burst open like wax near the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap in the open country. Found that end of 5 there. And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Jerusalem was their holy city, you know, but it had become a high place for them. Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap in the open country, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour down her stones into the valley and uncover her foundations. All her images shall be beaten to pieces. All her wages shall be burned with fire, and all her idols I will lay waste. For as the wages of a prostitute she gathered them, and as the wages of a prostitute they shall again be used. For this I will lament and wail. I will go barefoot and naked. I will make lamentation like the jackals, and mourning like the ostriches. For her wound is incurable. It has come to Judah. It has reached to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Tell it not in Gath. Weep not at all in Beth Leophra. Roll yourselves in the dust. Pass on your way, inhabitants of Shafir, in nakedness and shame. The inhabitants of Zanaan, do not come forth. Bethesel is wailing and shall remove its support from you, for the inhabitants of Moroth wait anxiously for good. Yet disaster has come down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the steeds to the chariots, inhabitants of Lachish. It was the beginning of sin to daughter Zion, for in you were found the transgressions of Israel. Therefore you shall give parting gifts to Moresheth-Gath. The houses of Achzib shall be a deception to the kings of Israel. I will again bring a conqueror upon you, inhabitants of Marshah. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair for your pampered children. Make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they have gone from you into exile. Chapter 2. Alas for those who devise wickedness and evil deeds on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it is in their power. They covet fields and seize them, houses, and they take them away. They oppress householder and house, people and their inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, now I am devising against this family an evil from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time. On that day they shall take up a taunt song against you and wail with bitter lamentation and say, we are utterly ruined. The Lord alters the inheritance of my people. How he removes it from me. Among our captors he parcels out our fields. Therefore you will have no one to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach. Thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Is the Lord's patience exhausted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to one who walks uprightly? But you rise up against my people as an enemy. You strip the robe from the peaceful, from those who pass by trustingly with no thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their pleasant houses. From their young children you take away my glory forever. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest, because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. If someone were to go about uttering empty falsehoods, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, such a one would be the preacher for this people. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the survivors of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. It will resound with people. The one who breaks out will go up before them. They will break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. And I said, listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin off them, break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a kettle, like flesh in a cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have acted wickedly. Thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry, peace, when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouth. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets give oracles for money, yet they lean upon the Lord and say, surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between my people, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the people walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. The lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion now and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of daughter Zion, to you it shall come, the former dominion shall come, the sovereignty of daughter Jerusalem. Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pangs have seized you like a woman in labor? Writhe and groan, O daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go forth from the city and camp in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hands of your enemies. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be profaned, and let our eyes gaze upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter Zion, for I will make your horn iron and your hoofs bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. They shall rule the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod with the drawn sword. They shall rescue us from the Assyrians if they come into our land or tread within our border. Then the remnant of Jacob, surrounded by many people, shall be like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not depend upon people or wait for any mortal. And among the nations, the remnant of Jacob, surrounded by many people, shall be like a lion among the animals of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which when it goes through, treads down and tears in pieces with no one to deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. In that day, says the Lord, I will cut off your horses from among you and will destroy your chariots. And I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. And I will cut off sorceries from your hand. And you shall have no more soothsayers. And I will cut off your images and your pillars from among you. And you shall bow down no more to the work of your hands. And I will uproot your sacred poles from among you and destroy your towns. And in anger and wrath I will execute vengeance on the nations that did not obey. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The voice of the Lord cries to the city. It is sound wisdom to hear your name. Hear, O tribe and assembly of the city, can I forget the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is accursed? Can I tolerate wicked scales and a bag of dishonest weights? Your wealthy are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies with tongues of deceit in their mouths. Before I have begun to strike you down, making you desolate because of your sins, you shall eat, but not be satisfied, and there shall be a gnawing hunger within you. You shall put away, but not save, and what you save, I will hand over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil. You shall tread grapes, but not drink wine. For you have kept the statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you have followed their counsels. Therefore I will make you a desolation, and your inhabitants an object of hissing. So you shall bear the scorn of my people. Woe is me, for I have become like one who, after the summer fruit has been gathered, after the vintage has been gleaned, finds no cluster to eat. There is no first ripe fig for which I hunger. The faithful have disappeared from the land, and there is no one left who is upright. They all lie in wait for blood, and they hunt each other with nets. Their hands are skilled to do evil. The official and the judge ask for a bribe, and the powerful dictate that dictate what they desire. Thus they pervert justice. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of their sentinels, of their punishment has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a friend, have no confidence in a loved one. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your embrace, for the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies are members of your own household. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I must bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, and he takes my side and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light. I shall see his vindication. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will see her downfall. Now she will be trodden down like the mire of the streets. A day for building of your walls. In that day the boundary shall be far extended. In that day they will come to you from Assyria to Egypt, from Egypt to the river, from sea to sea, from mountain to mountain. But the earth will be desolate because of its inhabitants, for the fruit of their doings. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock that belongs to you, which lives alone in a forest in the midst of a garden land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. Show us marvelous things. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hands on their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick dust like a snake, like the crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their fortresses. They shall turn in dread to the Lord our God, and they shall stand in fear of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in showing clemency. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all your sins into the depth of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and unanswering loyalty to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old. That's it. I welcome your comments, thoughts, any thoughts you have that you want to share. Or we can sing.
Amen, Brother Leroy. Thank you for reading the glamorous life of a prophet. It said verse 1, I think, during the reign of Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah. So there are two good kings, Jotham and Hezekiah, but he had a rough time, perhaps, with Ahaz. He allowed his children to be thrown through the fire, and it wasn't a glamorous thing. It's amazing he didn't get martyred for that. I don't know how Micah died, but at least he survived with Hezekiah. But what's the lesson for us today? Well, as Isaiah said, you know, all day long I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and rebellious children, the patience of God. And so maybe for today, just my thought, the patience of God today with this corrupt generation that is following after the things of their master, Satan. So let's be on God and remember that God is faithful. Thank you, Brother Leroy. God be magnified.
Thank you for that reading, Brother. You probably all know this, but I really like the prophets. And part of the reason is I find their message to be timeless. They had this ability of just speaking into their current situation and rebuking the evils, promising the good, or proclaiming the promises, and then throughout that is just prophecy after prophecy of the Messiah, the church, and then we can just 2,000 years later, 2,000 years after that even, after those prophecies were fulfilled, you know, we can read it and it still can just like speak to our lives, speak to things we go through. And in some ways, the whole of scriptures, with the word that is living, God's words that are living, can do that. But I find it to be especially that way in the prophets. A few things that stood out to me. The first verse of chapter 2. It says, they devised wickedness. This is how it reads in the Septuagint. It's pretty close in whatever you're reading, probably. They devised wickedness and were scheming evil on their beds. And at daybreak, they put their plan into action. For they did not lift up their hands to God. I don't know if you ever noticed how much the things that we think about when we get up in the morning are the things we thought about before we went to bed at night or as we fell asleep. And I think that's just how it is normally for people, like in those cool hours of the day or in that night. You know, the things we think about, or you could even say the things we think about in our private lives, you know, are likely the things that we'll think about when we get up in the morning and then ultimately be the things that we end up performing. And I think Micah, just generally, I think what Micah is doing here is, so it's pretty obvious. I think Leroy's right. I think he was prophesying to both the north and the southern kingdom, and he's seeing what the rulers and the people who are over the people or in authority are doing, and they're taking bribes, they're holding their positions or offices, and through it they're kind of taking lands for themselves and houses for themselves, and just orchestrate rules and laws and judge things in such a way to bring gain for themselves. And Micah just lays into them. I mean, for the first five chapters, for sure, he just is strong with rebuke. And even a lot of chapter 6 and 7 is, but the interesting thing is, like, he just end like after that, if you sometimes just read or listen to like a book of Mike, it's just like pow, bam, wham, like judgment. And then you get to the very end and you recognize, like, who is a God like you, removing wrongdoings and passing over the ungodliness of the remnant of his inheritance. He does not keep his anger as a witness, for he delights in mercy. He will return and have compassion on us. He will subdue our transgressions, and all our sins will be cast into the depth of the sea. And it reminded me, I had when David read the opening about wisdom and how to search it, you know, search it with such diligence and eagerness. The thought that the verse that I thought of was what James said about the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good works. And I think there's significance in why it says that. Like the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it is peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and good fruits. And we see that principle throughout Scripture. Peace is a good thing, but it has to be peace. It has to be peace that comes from God, which is a God of truth and a God of righteousness. There were prophets that were declaring, woe on people who were at peace, who were kind of settled back on their lees, who were just at peace, content, but they shouldn't have been, because the purity was not there and the righteousness was not there. I think we see that principle in when the Hebrew writer talks about Melchizedek, and he says he was first a king of righteousness and afterwards a king of peace. And Melchizedek, who is kind of a figure of Christ, I think that is who our God is. It's who our Lord, our Christ is. So I kind of picked that up again here in this reading of the book of Micah. Another thing that that I noticed again, it's in the Septuagint. It won't read quite this way in the Masoretic text if that's what you're reading, but it'd be in chapter 6, like in verse 13, I think, where it starts saying, "Therefore, I will begin to smite you. I will destroy you because of your sins. You shall eat but not be satisfied." That might be fairly similar to what you're reading, but then it says, "And there will be darkness upon you, and he will depart without being noticed." I've been pretty sobered by that passage about how how it goes with nations. It can go this way with individuals, I believe. It can go this way with nations or whatever. Like when that the Lord can depart without being noticed. I mean, that is sobering. Another passage that has always caught my attention, I think there's a lot to meditate upon, is that verse in chapter 6 where it says, shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I'm not sure what all we could get out of that, but I think it's something that I think it's something that gets done a lot. It's like whether you would interpret the fruit of my body, whether that be your children, or whether it would just be your life, your own life, the fruit of your body, like your life, what you live out with your body. Am I going to give that? Am I going to sacrifice that for the sin of my soul? For the thing that I like to, for the sin that I like to entertain within myself? What horror! And then, as I had said earlier, like Micah can do this. He can just speak directly into the present day situation, and we have these what's put up in 7 chapters, and throughout it, we get messianic prophecies. There's the prophecy of the new covenant. There's the prophecy, I believe, of the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. By the way, Micah was a contemporary, I think, of Isaiah, which prophesied almost the exact same words. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and there we will hear how we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks and no more learn war. Seems to me to be pointing to, again, probably more than one thing, but very, very descriptive of what Jesus did when he went up on the Sermon on the Mount and taught radical love for our enemies and non-resistance and things like that. Throughout this prophecy, there's prophecies of the incarnation of Christ, about Christ's birth in Bethlehem, about the conversion of the Gentiles into the church, and about the persecution of the church and so forth. And I just find that precious, just that timeless message we can get from the prophets. Thank you for the reading.
I don't have much to share. I did want to make one comment. The prophets, I mean, I just confess the prophets have always been kind of a mystery to me. And every once in a while I kind of rejoice when someone brings out a little nugget. Something very clear, like that idea that Duane just brought up about the things we go to sleep thinking about are kind of the things that we think about the next day, and then it sounds like from that passage they transform into action. Seems negative the way that Micah puts it, but it could be positive too. Anyway, I was just reading a little intro to the book, Micah in my Bible, and it sounds like there's a big possibility that both Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries, or at least they lived around the same time. And they both have that pattern of humbling and bringing down warnings about the future, but then with messages of hope too. And I heard a parallel passage. No, it's not a parallel passage. It's just a similar passage in Isaiah from the third chapter. I wanted to read the first 9 verses and then contrast that with the message of hope it gives in chapter 4. This is chapter 3. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and supply, all support of bread and all support of water, the mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor and the skillful magician, and the expert in charms. And I will make boys their princes, and infants shall rule over them. So you start to see taking shape a picture of humbling and humiliation and shameful rule. Boys as their princes, infants ruling over them, and all of the mighty men and all the valiant men taken away. And the people will oppress one another, everyone his fellow, and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder. So a lot of disrespect, a lot of hurting each other, blaming, and the despised to the honorable. So just a general despising of each other, but more than that, like disrespect sown in there as well. Verse 6, for a man will take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have a cloak, you shall be our leader, and this heap of ruins shall be under your rule. In that day he will speak out, saying, this is the man who's been brought by his brother, you be the ruler. I will not be a healer in my house. There is neither bread nor cloak. You shall not make me leader of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, those two kingdoms, because their speech and their deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. I'll read a little more. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. And then he goes on to pronounce woe on the wicked. more pictures of shame and humbling and humility of these people, brokenness. And I think that's one of the best places to be, because out of it then rises this picture of hope that comes out in chapter 4. I'll start in verse 2. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. So through these warnings that the Lord gives, it's like a refining fire that brings people to repentance. The Spirit, it's a work of the Spirit of the Lord. And after that repentance, then, it says in verse 5, the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy, and there will be a booth for shade by day from the heat and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. That message of hope that comes out of a changing of heart, of a repentance. It seems like Micah does some similar things in his book, and I'd read that this last week, and I was blessed by the picture. I guess it is good to be brought low. It is good to be humbled. It is good to be there, because out of that we can have hope and rise up fresh and clean and cleansed. Thank you for the reading, Brother Leroy.
One more comment before the song, I guess, or the songs, but there was a testimony I listened to a few days ago on Anabaptist perspective, and it was, did anyone by chance listen to it? It was by Tanya, T-A-N-I-A, Taylor. That's Dean Taylor's wife, and Reagan Schrock was interviewing her. Did anyone by chance listen to that? That was one of the first ones, I guess. But anyway, she was in the military with Dean, and they came out. They're in the band. He's like 6'4", and she's about 5'11". And it was like really something that they're pictures together. But anyway, and so if you could have read that book, Change Religions, or something like that, Dean Taylor's thing, then she was kind of echoing a lot of those thoughts. But when they both convicted, they both became conscientious objectors with the Shirleys, and they got out. And even the captain that was interviewing them, he became a CEO too by listening to them. It was a blessing. But I remember when her and Dean were saying, okay, now we're out of the army, and the only fellowship we have is with dead people. It's the early Christians and the Anabaptists, because there aren't any people that believe in non-resistance and turning the other cheek and living like they do. And they say they were lamenting that we're just, our fellowship is with dead people, early Christians and the Anabaptists. And then they picked up a book, as she said, David Bricott. We went over to see the Bricotts in Texas and started a different thing. But just want to say that even the worldly people can see, beat the swords into plowshares, you know, Joel, Isaiah, Micah, swords into plowshares. Even worldly people can see that. And thank you, Robert, for playing that song yesterday when I visited you, the universal soldier. And that's worldly things, but they can see that. So I played that for Matt last night when we got together, Matt and I. And I said, here, listen to this, the universal soldier. It's a song that was written in the 60s by Donovan Leitch, and talking about how when there'll be peace, if people can just put down their weapons and love one another. But we, you know, we just pray for people to get the Christian peace, not just the worldly peace of United Nations. But anyway, non-resistance is a key component for our life, as many other things are. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I just want to say that I appreciate the readings and the things that brothers have shared. It also, I mean, number of things stood out to me, but the part there towards the end did as well, where it says he does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in mercy, he will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, and you will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. I think when I first, for some reason, I thought that that part where it says he will not retain his anger forever, it means that he will not stay angry. I think whenever I think in the past I have read somehow I read Psalm 103 in verse 9 where it says, nor will he keep his anger forever. I don't know, is that, but it's after it says he's slow to angry. I think I used to think that he will not hold back his anger, like kind of like his mercy, like exactly the opposite of what it's saying here, but that his mercy will only be extend so far, and then his mercy will run out. But then I was just reading it. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, but he does strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever, though he is angry at times with us. Still, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. And I guess part of the reason that stood out to me is that because I was reminded again this week of how I guess how sinful I am, how much I need God's mercy and forgiveness. I just,
one of the things I was thinking about, Micah, the little song where it talks about what the Lord requires of thee, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. In Micah, he was talking about false balances, and I think it's so easy. If we're walking uprightly, and at least we think we are, to not be humble, to think that, to kind of give a false balance, like there's two ways of a false balance. I think that you can, you can have shady business transactions. That's obviously true, but you can also like have a false balance of where you judge others, but you don't judge yourself for the same things that you do. And Scripture says that he who judges do the same things. And I think that's oftentimes the case. You know, it's not walking humbly before the Lord, like realizing that my own heart is deceiving me. Oftentimes we get so angry with other people for the things that we do. And I just pray for open and broken hearts, and that the Lord would break us all, and it would bear fruit unto him. And that, like what Robert was saying about non-resistance, you know, I think it's just it's become a doctrine that needs to be a life submitted to the Lord, and a heart of peace that longs for brokenness and love, bear the Lord. The Lord in his image. It's a very difficult place to stay, and to takes constant work, and just I just pray for those things, for myself and for others here.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be one.
Oh, the